God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. That promise given thousands of years ago by Moses to Joshua is for you and me today, and for all who are willing to follow the Lord. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you today on the subject of work, offering to God our work. The work that a Christian does should be done in a Christian way, gladly, cheerfully, thoroughly. My husband and I have just gotten back from Norway, and I'll tell you, if there is one thing that impresses me almost more than the fabulous scenery of Norway, it's the cleanliness of the streets, the public buildings, the houses, the windows, the white curtains. You go into a public restroom, every corner is scrubbed clean. Now, I don't know who does that work, but whoever does it certainly has been taught to do a thorough job. What is your attitude toward work? Do you hate it? Do you thank God for it? Do you look for personal fulfillment in your work, or do you do it primarily to glorify God? Do you think of it as a privilege, as a gift, as a joy? Do you think of it as an offering to God? You know, I do quite different kinds of work. It's a very different thing to be standing by a podium speaking to an audience from what it's like to sit here at the table in the studio and look at a microphone. It's a very different thing to write a letter to my daughter than it is to write a book. It's another thing altogether to do my ironing and my grocery shopping and my cooking. But all of those are forms of work. And it really doesn't make any difference which one of those I'm doing at the time. If that's the thing that needs to be done then, I should do it with the attitude of thanksgiving and joy and diligence. Do you teach your children to do a job thoroughly as well as cheerfully? Do you have the stamina, the moral fiber, to take the child back again to his room and show him how he left the corners unswept or the corners of the sheets on the bed not tucked in properly? Teach them how to make good, firm, tight hospital corners on their beds. Oh, well, there goes Elizabeth Elliott again. She's off on that kick. I mean, she is, what would be the psychological term? Obsessive-compulsive, I guess. But think of hatred, boredom, sloppiness, carelessness, greed, dishonesty, complaining, competing, and burnout. Those things certainly don't characterize the way Jesus must have done his work in the carpentry shop. How do you think he planed a board? Thoroughly or half-heartedly? Carelessly? Grumbling and complaining? I don't think so. I think Jesus learned to work in the carpentry shop, as we assume he did. We don't have any scriptural proof, but let's just assume that since his father, his earthly father Joseph, was a carpenter, that was what Jesus did for 30 years, watching what his father did, receiving his instruction, following it faithfully, and turning out chairs and tables and beds, I'm guessing, again, for customers in a faithful and responsible way. I don't think he was bored. I don't think he was sloppy. I don't think he was careless. And I don't know what they do in Norway, but they have certainly gotten across the idea of thoroughness in work. My husband and I visited his aunt in an old folks' home It was immaculate. I mean, it was literally the kind of floors you could eat off of. Every window sparkling, every corner clean, the floors immaculate. There wasn't one gum wrapper or cigarette butt to be found anywhere. And it's the same on the streets, generally speaking. It's getting hard for them to keep up with those standards because they've got many outsiders who haven't had that kind of training. But the rule of life should be thoroughness for the glory of God. Charity is going to make me want to be thorough. If I want to do the job in love to God, then I want to do the job thoroughly. Let me read to you from Titus, the third chapter, verses 1 and 2. This is the Apostle Paul giving instructions to a young minister. He says, "Remind them to be submissive to the government and the authorities, to obey them, and to be ready for any honorable form of work." And a footnote to that, an alternate translation says, "Ready always to do good." Any honorable form of work, or always to do good, to slander no one, not to pick quarrels, to show forbearance, and a consistently gentle disposition towards all men. Is that easy for you? It's not for me. We need grace, don't we? We need God's help. I pray constantly when I prepare these talks and when Linda and I pray together in the studio before we go on the air. We pray that God will speak by His Spirit to the people that He knows needs the message. The people that He knows need the message. I don't know who needs this message today, but God knows. And so I pray that there will be a difference in your office, your schoolroom, your kitchen, your construction site, wherever the work that God has given you to do is to be accomplished. I remember when my husband, Ad Leach, was the dean of a college. He told me this story about when he was the dean of a college. He got word one day in his office that the walls of a certain men's dormitory were smeared with shaving cream and peanut butter. So he got himself over to the dormitory and went down the halls knocking on doors asking, did anyone have any idea how that shaving cream and that peanut butter got on those walls? And of course the answer was no. Not a soul in the dormitory had the least notion. Well, what was he going to do then? He could call the janitor, but he said the janitor was a good man, very willing to do anything, anytime. And he said, I didn't think that that was the kind of a job that I wanted to lay on the janitor. It certainly was not in his ordinary job description. Well, he could go down the halls and insist that every man come out and clean the walls. But there was a third option, and that was the one that Ad chose. He went and got himself a bucket of soapy water and a brush, and he set to work on those walls. This was the dean of the college. Pretty soon the doors began to open, heads began to pop out, and it wasn't very long before a good number of the men in that dormitory came and helped him to clean the walls. He was not above doing the dirty job, the humble job. Be willing to do any honorable form of work, and scrubbing walls is an honorable form of work, as is digging ditches, if that is the work that God has given to you to do. I have a friend who is a court reporter. Her days are spent listening to horror stories, always to do with sin. There wouldn't be courts if it weren't for sin, if it weren't for disobedience. Well, that's what she has to listen to. But as a Christian, she can sit in that courtroom and do the work of a Christian. She does it conscientiously and thoroughly. My friend Betty Green, a pilot during World War II who flew bombers. She ferried bombers. She was not in active combat, of course. But I asked her, how did you make it in a man's world? And she said, I made up my mind if I was going to make it in a man's world, I had to be a lady. A Christian woman in a work world has got to be a Christian woman, and that involves being a lady. Verse 9 of Titus 3, steer clear of foolish speculations, genealogies, quarrels, and controversies over the law. They are unprofitable and pointless. Many of us are in positions where it's very easy in our work, in our routine, to get involved in foolish speculations and controversies. They are unprofitable and pointless. Verse 14. People must be taught to engage in honest employment to produce the necessities of life. They must not be unproductive. Now, this is something that should be taught in the church, Paul says. If any pastors are listening to me, I would raise the question, have you thought about teaching people to engage in honest employment, teaching people how to work? But probably most of my listeners are more likely to be fathers and mothers who have the responsibility of teaching their children to work. But the children are not going to learn to work thoroughly and conscientiously in a way that they can offer their work to God unless they have the example of watching their parents. Nothing is so powerful a teacher as examples. The Ten Commandments tell us, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Are we faithful in the 6 days that we are given to labor and do all our work so that we can obey the commandment about the seventh day, that we must rest? We're not to be catching up with the work that we should have done on Saturday, on Sunday.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.